Imagine with me a man sitting in his truck in his driveway. Time seems to stand still. The engine is off, and yet his hands are on the steering wheel. He sits. Last week, he buried his mother. His relationship with his son is less than ideal. Though there were no scenes at the funeral, it was one of those situations where the politeness underscored the differences. Work is unstable. This man does not know how to walk through his own front door. There's no drama. There are no tears. There is weight. And Jesus says to this man, "You are blessed." In a world that says, "Blessed are the successful, blessed are the entertained, blessed are the comfortable," Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn." Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn." As with last week, I said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Once again, we see Jesus on the side of the outsiders. Now, the word used for mourning here is panthéo, which means deep mourning. The Cowboys lose, and there's mourning. The Rangers lose, and there is mourning. The Mavericks, the Stars, lose, there is mourning. But that is not panthéo. No matter how much you're upset in the moment, it doesn't count, okay? Panthéo is the deep mourning of loss of a loved one or something very, very dear. And Jesus says to those people, "You're blessed." We mourn. We mourn what we have lost. Funerals being a perfect example of that. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus wept. There is an empty chair at a table, or it is filled by someone else. And there's a reminder, a grief reminder. In my mother's family, the Bennets, it was a very big deal about sitting at the two ends of the table with my grandmother presiding as hostess and my grandfather at the other end. Then one day he was not there, and my uncle, as the senior male, sat there. There was even one family gathering, my uncle could not be there, and then I, as the senior male, sat at that table. But that's Granddaddy's chair. There's the phone number that no longer calls. There's no one at the other end of the line, or maybe there is, and the line is blocked. The relationship has gone sour or ended, or even has simply altered. People have moved, and friendship's still there, but you don't have the same routines to connect. The diagnosis is not the one that you wanted. The job disappeared, or the work environment becomes toxic. I came across this quote, but anonymous. "Mourning is love with nowhere to go." So I'm pondering that. Love is mourning is love with nowhere to go. And Jesus does not rebuke it. Jesus blesses it. Blessed are those who do not pretend it doesn't hurt. Second, we mourn losses, mourn what we have done. In our Lent study this past week, we heard George Jones sing about choices and those consequences. And I don't know if he wrote that song or if that song was wrote for him or he just said, "That's my life." But it was his life. I mean, you listen to the words. and a point in life and just the choices and living with those consequences. David, King David, was guilty of adultery, an arranged murder, an abuse of power. And he could have blamed others. He could have silenced the prophet Nathan when confronted. He could have spun the story, "Well, I have needs," and she was just right out there at the right time. No. He says, "Against you I have sinned." And that is not regret. To a degree, regret says, "I got caught." Mourning says, "I broke something holy." Now, regret can be a train station on the route to mourning. Okay, I don't want to acknowledge that, but the train's got to keep running beyond regret. Some might think, "I need to say that I never fail." But the real person says, "I was wrong," can say, "I was wrong." The person thinks, "Oh, I must always appear flawless." It's the one who gets on the knees that is being real. Blessed are those who mourn their sin. They experience the forgiveness given by Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it all. We can mourn what the world has become. Again, I think about our study last week. We heard Johnny Cash sing the song written by Kris Kristofferson, "Sunday Morning Coming Down." In a way, that was mourning the guy's life, but also the world, feeling very alienated from it. We can mourn the addictions and violence that we see, the fractured families, the loneliness, the division between people, not even able to have civil conversations over points of disagreement. The opposite of mourning is not joy, it's indifference. And if you're going to care in this world, there's going to be some mourning. And Jesus blesses those who still care, who still feel, those who refuse to call darkness normal. What exactly does comfort mean? Well, I've been using some country songs, and you may have heard the old story that if you play a country song backwards, you get it all back. The truck, the dog, the job, the buddy, the wife or girlfriend, but not both at the same time. They all come back. Now, while that might be comforting, my truck works again, that's not the case here. It does not mean necessarily that you get everything back or that you stop hurting immediately or that life becomes easier. It does mean that our Lord comes near. Comfort is not an explanation so much as it is a presence. Jesus does not shout comfort from a distance. Jesus enters tombs. Jesus enters tears. Jesus enters the scene when we've been betrayed. Jesus did not avoid mourning. Jesus walks into it. Jesus walks into grief, into our repentance, into our sorrow for the world. Jesus meets it. And at this table today, once again, we can meet with Jesus, whether you are mourning in whatever degree or not. He is here to meet with you. Amen.